I am glad to see our visiting brother.
Amen.
And just feel at home.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Ephesians 3, verse 2. Brother Nzima is going to read that for us. I pray God gives you the grace to be able to understand the inspiration that we are sharing today.
Amen.
Ephesians 3, verse 2.
If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. That's all.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
Amen.
We may be seated, saints. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity you are giving us right now to sit in heavenly places with Christ our Lord. In your presence, Lord, are blessings. In your presence, there is healing. In your presence, there is restoration. And now, Lord, as we commit our hearts and our minds to the hearing of your word, may every blessing that you have brought in this place be received in faith. May no mind be distracted by anything, but that each and every one, Lord, may receive that gift of life in them. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray, with thanks in our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
Take note of what we have read here. If you have a Bible, read with me, Ephesians 3 verse 2. If ye have heard of the
dispensation of the grace of God.
That's not there. If you've heard of what?
Dispensation.
And we need to start at that point. What is this big word? You know, many times we love to talk about it. Grace dispensation. And the picture which has many times been painted in the minds of believers is dispensation is like a historical period. But that's not really what it means. The word dispensation comes from the word dispense. What does the word dispense mean? To dispense is to give out something to people. To dispense is to
give out something to people.
Give out something to people. Now, here we do not really mean if I give you a box of flitters and you are giving to people that you are dispensing flitters. This is a special giving out. It's a giving out because you've been given an authority to do so. There is a badge of authority which has been given to say, okay, this person, we've checked him, he is trained, he is qualified, he can give out this something. People like Brother Banda who are in the medical field, in the hospitals, there's what is called a dispensary.
Amen.
Correct?
Amen.
Now, a person who is in the dispensary, he also gives out something. What is the something he gives out? Medicine.
Yes.
Now, you don't put any Jim and Jack in the dispensary.
Mm-hmm.
You need a person who is qualified.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? This will be dispensed to go to this particular place.
Mm-hmm.
So to dispense means to do what? To give out
something.
Something to?
To people.
Why are you giving it to them? Because there is a need.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say dispense, it means to give out something. Now we've talked about an example of a hospital. Another place where the word dispense can be used is in the court system. The judge. The judge has to dispense justice. Now, you notice when you talk about dispensing, let me now give you the definition of dispensation. Because we're just explaining on the word dispense. Dispensation means the act or process of providing something, especially by somebody in authority. You see the way it has been defined?
Amen.
It's not just any person, but somebody in authority. That authority is because you are qualified. There is a process which has agreed. This is the person who has to give out medicine. This is the person who has to give out justice. Now, if a person sits in the seat of a judge, do you think that person just woke up and he sat in that chair and said, you know what, you people, I'll be your judge? Is that how it works in the court system?
No.
What will happen? The person goes to school, right?
Amen.
He has to pass exams. That is not enough. He starts as a lawyer through what they call ziyale. They still need to examine him to ensure that this person is really qualified. When he passes those other assessments, well, they give him the authority to work as a lawyer. After you've worked as a lawyer, you've dealt with the different cases and all that, after having experience, later on, the system says he can be a judge. So when a person sits in that seat of a judge, he didn't just wake up and put himself there. There is authority which has been given to him. The government will stand behind what he is doing. Why? He is dispensing justice. So when you stand there, you say, oh, my lord, or your lordship, there's this problem, there's that problem. When that person thinks through it, he consults his books, he consults his other qualified colleagues, they say, no, the decision here we need to make is this and that. When we do it like that, it means it will be fair. That will be justice. And so when that judge now with all his gowns makes a ruling, it means he has dispensed justice. He has given out something. What is the something he has given? Justice. And what he has spoken is final. It's a decision which has been made. It settles all arguments. Now, you don't want to put any kind of a person there. You want someone who is fair, right? You want someone who's been given that authority. Even politicians, they can be great, they can be influential, but when there is a case, they all go to the House of Lords where there's a court system. Why? There's a person there who dispenses justice. We are just looking at examples of what the word dispensation means. It's a process of giving out something by authority. Are we together?
Amen.
Now, the explanation I'm giving you are English explanations. But I want us to look into the Bible. This scripture that we read, it says, if ye have heard of the dispensation of, we're not talking about medicine, we're not talking about justice, but the dispensation of
grace.
Can I hear you?
Grace.
If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. Are you seeing what Paul is explaining is what we're talking about here?
Amen.
Paul says, I have been appointed. I have been given the grace. And this grace has to be given to you.
Amen.
Are you seeing why he's using the word dispensation?
Amen.
Because to dispense is to give something by virtue of authority.
Amen.
So now Paul says, you have heard. He says, if you have heard, you've heard of my testimony. What testimony? That God gave me the privilege to be giving out the grace. He gave me this grace to give it out to you. Is the scripture making sense now?
Yes.
Okay. Now, when we look at this word dispensation, this Bible was not written in English. It was written in Greek. So we are interested also in knowing this word he used here, dispensation. What word was used in the original? Now, in the original, the word which was used, which Paul here uses, is oikonomia. I'm not trying to claim to be an expert of Greek, but there are authorities who know this language and they've said something and we've read about it, and that is what I'm giving to you. So now, when you read in Greek, the word Paul uses is, where you see the word dispensation, Paul uses the word oikonomia. And it means the same thing we are from talking about, except it gives some more details. So oikonomia means, refers to the work of stewardship in administering or managing property. Let's break it down. Oikonomia, the word Paul used here, it means someone who's been given authority to handle goods, properties, or money on behalf of his boss. And so he's been given the authority to give payments to the workers. If the workers need food, he gives them food. So he is dispensing, not on his own authority, he's doing that because his master has entrusted him. Now, you see, what I'm explaining has the same meaning of what we talked about in English, right? Mm-hmm. Now, look at this. When you look at the word in English, dispense, it is actually, when we want to look at what is known as its etymology, meaning, where are these words coming from? We want to break it down. So this word is made up of two words. Dis. You can see dis, right? D-I-S, and there is another word here. It is also made up of pens, but in Latin it would be pendere. So there are two words. There's dis and there's pendere. Together it makes the word dispense. So allow me to just wrap this so that we fully appreciate what we're trying to explain. So dispense is made up of two words. The first word is dis. The second word is pendere. Then in English, when we add them, we read them as dispense. What is dis? Dis means out, like give out. So dis means out. Pendere means to hang or to distribute by weight. To hang by weight. This is where the word comes from. The people who made this word. It means to give out something after you have weighed it on a scale. Mm-hmm. So you weigh something and you say, this one, the amount of medicine he needs maybe 50 kg, it's the one which will go. Again, you weigh. You say, no. According to the population in this region, let us weigh the medicine which needs to go to Chipata district. The way, there's okay to Chipata, there are many people there. So let us send maybe 100 kg of this medicine. So you are giving out after you've weighed, because people have different needs. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
So if you are a mother, you know that, I have 3 children. This one usually suffers from a certain problem. And because of that problem, I think he needs more fruits so that he recovers. So you have food from one pot, you say, no, him, let me weigh. Okay, you say, this one, I'll give him 2 lamps and I'll give him maybe 3 oranges because doctor said he needs to eat more of this. So what have you done? You are giving out, you are dispensing, but not anyhow, but after you have measured according to the need of a person. So you say, okay, you get 3 oranges. The other one say, no. You are okay. So you just need 1 lamp and probably maybe 1 orange. What are you doing? You've been put in a position of stewardship. You assess the needs of the people, and what do? You give out the goods, you give out the food, you give out the medicine after you have weighed. That's what dispensation means. It means to give out by weighing. That's now the complete meaning. Are we learning something?
Amen.
Now, this is all about what we can speak about, the words and what they mean. But we're not here to just learn English or to learn Greek or to learn Latin. Let's now go into the scriptures. We see the word oikonomia or oikonomos. We see in scriptures how the Lord used the word. Let us look at the biblical usage. Luke 12, verse 42. Let's go to Luke chapter 12 and verse 42. I want us all to read together, so quickly go there. Luke 12, verse 42. If you are there, say amen.
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 Shall we all read? Who then
is
not Luke, Luke 12, verse 42. Luke 12, verse 42. And the Lord said,
who then is that faithful and wise steward?
Faithful and wise
steward.
Now, when you read it in the original, it says, who then is that faithful and wise oikonomos? Remember, we said the word dispense is oikonomia, right?
Amen.
So the word used here is, who then is that faithful and wise oikonomos? In other words, wise dispenser. Mm. Am I losing you, or we are still together?
Are
we still together?
Amen.
Who then is that faithful and wise steward, or a person who is a dispenser? And then the Lord says, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season. Are you saying that this steward has been appointed to do what? To give out. Right?
Amen.
Is it in any measure? No. According to the required portion after it's been weighed. Are you saying that?
Amen.
So to give them their portion, meaning each and every one of us, we have different needs, right?
Amen.
And now he says, who then is the faithful and wise oikonomos, or steward, or dispenser, who will give out the goods according to the portion people need? So now, there we can see that a steward is actually a dispenser of something God has put in his hands. And he's not doing it on his own. Whenever you are speaking of a steward or a dispenser or economist, you are looking at someone who hasn't just put himself there. But God has given that authority for that to be done. Okay?
Amen.
Now, let us look at another usage of economist in the scriptures, or dispenser. Luke chapter 16, verse 1 to 11. Now, there's an important lesson to learn from there. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 1 to 11. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a, in Greek there is, which had oikonomos. You see that?
Yes.
This rich man had a dispenser. This rich man appointed a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Now, I want you to follow this story carefully. It will tell you things which can go wrong when you are oikonomos, or when you are a steward. Okay? So, this oikonomos, he wasn't a wise person. Let me not say he wasn't a wise person, but you know, he was accused that the way he used to do things, he was wasting his master's goods. Mm. Verse 2, and he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Zazanda, Bosagamba, can you give an account?
Mm-hmm.
I hear you are wasting my goods. Because this person was appointed to give out his goods. Now we want to know, what kind of a steward was he? What kind of goods was he entrusted with? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg, I am ashamed. So this man says, So he knew that my life will be in problems. I don't have a skill, and now they're telling me my job has ended. So see what this man did. I am resolved what to do, that when I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Now, this steward, he used to give out things to people. And now he knows that I'm about to be removed from that way. Now he's afraid. How will people treat me? Because I was their boss. Will they treat me good once they know that I no longer have this authority? So he came up with a plan. Let's read the plan he came up with. In verse 4, I am resolved what to do, that when I'm out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my lord? So now we can see what kind of work he used to do. The master used to give him money, goods, and all that, and he used to give out those things on credit to people. So that when people pay, he takes the money to his master. So he used to give out debt. He used to give out ngongole. So now he knows that, hey, my job is on the line. So let me go and make friendship with people who used to owe my master. So that in Chito Ikasila, not after my work is done, people now say, aha, denze tivuta, denze pinda maningi. He was afraid of that. So he comes up with a plan. He says, he called every one of his lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Are you seeing what he's doing? He says, iwe unakongole zingati na boss. In any 50 pin. He said, okay. Nizachinja. Naishita reduce from 50 pin. Uzaripe rashabe 25 pin. Achita chita masamu yake. Iwe unakongole zingati. In any 10 pin. Okay. Tataifuta kwe 5 pin. Uzaripe rashabe 5 pin. You know what he's doing? Are you seeing the reason why he's doing that? He wants, when he's put out of the job, people say, yeah, that one was a good man. He used to help us.
Yeah.
Very clever man, eh? So now, as clever as a bamba. Now, verse 7. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward. Hey, did you hear that? No, the Lord is not saying be doing such things. I want you to get the center of the lesson. He commended that steward. He says, hey, that guy was clever. Now, not because of how he was wasting the goods, but listen to what the Lord says. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Not the Lord as in the Lord Jesus, the Lord in the parable. He says, oh, so this worker, what? He's actually very clever. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Now listen to this. And I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. At the end, the Lord Jesus tells his disciples, says, be good to people. Because one day when you fall in problems, it will be easier for people to take care of you. Now that's just a moral lesson. It's just important as a human being, right?
Amen.
It doesn't mean you start stealing your master's things and you say, I'm being good to people. That's not the lesson. But there are certain things we can learn from this parable. Number one, we've learned that this man was given responsibility. The master gave him possessions of his own goods. That's the work he used to do. The master, the money his master had was put in the hands of the servant. Right?
Amen.
What do we learn? Each one of us, there is something God has put in your hands. Those things are not yours. They are for God. They've just been put in your hands for you to take care of them. Is that correct?
Amen.
Do you know the life you have is not yours?
Amen.
It's not. Do you know the money you receive after you've received your pay? It's not even your money. Do you realize that?
Amen.
There are people here who work. Tell me, out of the money you earn, tell me how much you use on yourself. Very little. Even when you buy bread, are you going to say, I've got this loaf of bread because I'm the one who is working, I'll eat 3/4 of it. Is that what you do? You don't do that, right? From what we earn, there's very little. Much of it is to the people in the house. If you are renting, you have to pay rent. Why? You have responsibility. So, life is a stewardship, actually. Life is things being put in your hands. Who put those things in your hands? The one who gives you life. He's the one who's given you that opportunity. The thing is, how well are you handling things God has put in your hands? How well are you handling it? That's lesson number one. Number two. From the story, we also learn that in the work of dispensation, one can either be wise or foolish. Because here, we are told this steward was accused for wasting his master's goods. What God has put in your hands, you can be a waster. That's what it means. It means a steward, and a person who is economist, he can either be wise or he can be a waster of goods which God blessed in his hands. There is that possibility that you are not good at using what God has put in your hands. But a wise steward, he makes profit. Whatever God puts in his hands, he multiplies. Did you know, if I may speak on this just social aspect, you know, there are people who say, oh, if I had 100,000 kwacha, or if I had 50,000 kwacha, things can change in my life. I can do this with it, I can do that with it. Then one day, without expectation, that money comes. And when that money comes, plans which were not there come. Say, I think, let me do this. Let me do that. Let me do that. Before you realize it, the money is wasted. Anyone who has ever gone through that, be frank. Anyone who has ever gone through that, God bless you for being frank. You know, there's things which happen in life sometimes where you didn't plan to receive this money, but suddenly you hear, oh, there's a workshop, oh, there's this, and suddenly you receive money you never planned for. But do you know that money you don't plan for also has very sharp big wings? It takes off quickly than it came. Ever experienced that?
Yes.
Before an opportunity comes, make yourself ready for that opportunity. There are people who say, hey, there's an opportunity. Imagine if you have a job, so I can start a workshop where I can learn this skill. Usually it doesn't work well that way. But there are certain people who know where they're going in life, and they'll say, you know what? This is what I desire in life. I think I need this particular skill. And so they'll start doing it. Like training, they'll start. They're doing those things even before any opportunity comes. And now, opportunity doesn't announce. Is that so? You wait. But this person is preparing himself. He's trying to gather information. How do you do a thing like this? How do you run a business like this? They try to inquire. Then now, when a time comes, when opportunity comes, because there is a plan, whatever resources come, a person already knows where to channel those things. That's the beauty of a plan. When the resources come, you automatically know where they're supposed to go. But where there is no plan, resources fall on the ground. It is the same spiritually. There is nothing which can succeed in your hands accidentally. Success is never an accident. Success is never an accident. It is always a result of diligence. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, God has given you life. But I want also to tell you, God has put a spiritual gift in you. And that's what we want to talk about. There is a spiritual gift in you. That spiritual gift is the reason why you are alive.
Amen.
But ask yourself, the gift God has given me, am I a wasteful servant or am I a profitable servant of God?
Amen.
We need to ask ourselves those things because you are a steward. There's something you have to dispense. That's one thing we learn in the story. This man, he was accused of being wasteful. Oh my. This life we have, it's borrowed. The way I'm breathing. One day too, the life will live. It will go to the Maker. The question is, all the years I was on earth, what did I do with that life? One day God will ask, what did you do with the life I gave you? It would be very bad if you wasted that life. Others waste it in living careless social life, drinking and all those things. You know, just living a disorganized life. But you can also be a believer and yet you are wasting precious gift that God has entrusted in you. Number three, another thing we learned from that parable. This man realized that, although I was a steward, I may not have related well with the people. Now he realized the importance of respecting the relationship you have with people. You've seen stories where someone used to be a boss, they're out of employment, and then everyone is happy. It means he never used to relate well with people, right? Here it is. Even in the house of God, whatever gift you have, even as a minister, yes, I can rebuke a congregation. Yes, I need to set it in order, but I need to respect the relationship I have with people in the congregation. Because you can't be a pastor if there's no sheep to lead. Did you know that? So, there has to be respect. Respect does not mean compromising with the word. A person cannot compromise with the scripture. He can preach the word of God very hard, but at the same time, relating well with people respectfully, because he's been given a privilege to lead and guide them in their way of salvation. Amen.
Amen.
It's just like a husband and a wife. Yes, a husband, you are the head of the home. That doesn't mean you abuse the wife. That doesn't mean you treat her as a doormat. You say, you know, we are the head and all that. No. You need to honor her in that role, because there is a lot she does also. There is a little story where a man always used to go for work in the morning. He comes back maybe late in the evenings. And this time he gets angry. You say, you know, my wife, you need to respect what I'm doing. You know, I work so hard, I move out. You're not working. You're usually just at home. But that wife used to make breakfast for him, used to cook, wash his clothes. Don't you think that is work?
It is work.
It is work, right? Now, you need as a man to honor and respect that. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, we've talked about stewardship in the world. We've talked about medicine, the people who dispense medicine. We've talked about social things which affect us, like business, how to plan and all that. But that's not really our focus. Although those principles are very much important. But we want to talk about stewardship in the house of God. This is the house of God. You need to know that every child of God in the house of God, in the church, has a place, has a calling. Some of you say, but I don't know my spiritual gift. Not knowing your spiritual gift does not mean you don't have one. You have it. The fact that you are here, the fact that you are alive, the fact you are breathing, you are in the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, there is a gift you have. There is work that you need to do. Your gift is the reason for your life. At the end of the day, when judgment day comes, God won't ask you how much profit you made out of your business. Money, salary, they just help us to have food, but that's not the reason why we are alive. The food is to help us achieve the purpose God gave us. The purpose of that vehicle is not for it to eat fuel. No. Fuel is given to it to achieve the purpose of moving me from point A to point B. So now, the job you have, the salary you receive, the piece works you do, that's not the purpose of your existence.
Amen.
That gives you an income to help you achieve the purpose why you are alive.
Amen.
So you need to know that your spiritual gift is the purpose of your existence.
Mm-hmm.
It is what will enable you to have that eternal life. Why? Whatever work you are doing in the space called time, later on we have to live in eternity. So whatever you do in a space called time, it needs to have eternal value. Where does that come from? the Spirit of God in you, enabling you to accomplish his work. It goes without saying that your judgment and even your reward, which God shall give you at the end of all things, God won't give rewards anyhow. Likewise, God won't judge anyhow. Just judging to say, okay, Brother Robert is being judged. You will be judged according to what you did or did not do, according to the gift God put in you. Your judgment will be based on your calling. Are you understanding that? If there's a school like this, and someone's work is a worker, he cleans classrooms, and the problem has happened, children have failed, will the headmaster begin to judge the sweeper to say you were not sweeping properly? No. The primary people are the teachers, right? Mm-hmm. But if the place is dirty, the sweeper will be judged according to why is the place dirty. Yes. So judgment is according to your gift and your calling. If God has called me to be a pastor, he will judge me on how I did my work as a pastor. Now, how important is your gift? Because sometimes we feel, well, you know, I don't know my gift and we are all right with that and we just move on. But I want to tell you, your gift is very important. Like I told you, it's the reason for your existence. But here is something I need you to observe. Let us go to Ephesians 4 verse 7. Ephesians 4 verse 7. Why is it important? I mean, how crucial, how important is your gift? Listen to this. Ephesians 4 verse 7. I want everyone to read. Shall we read? But unto every one of us is given
grace according to the measure of the gift of
grace. We are given what?
Grace according to the measure.
Amen.
The grace God gives you is according to your measure of what?
Of the gift of Christ.
So, God gives grace according to the gift you have. God doesn't give grace anyhow. What is grace? Grace is favor. Grace is your blessing. Grace is the ability God gives you. Whatever blessing God can give you, whatever grace God can give you, it's with regards to your gift.
Amen.
You stay out of your gift, you won't see the blessing of God. Because your grace is according to the gift that is in you. Look at an ego. What does an ego do? What is the gift of an ego? The gift of an ego is to fly. Correct?
Amen.
So what grace does God give it? Maybe this particular ego has big feathers. Maybe it has nice, strong stamina as it is in the air there. So the grace of an ego is big feathers, the ability to see clearly, the ability to withstand strong weather. Why are all these grace feathers? Why did God give it these things? Because he gave it the gift to fly. So whatever God will bless it, it is with reference to the gift he has given it.
Amen.
Now imagine if a cow begins to pray for strong wings. Imagine if a monkey begins to pray to be a better swimmer. The grace for swimming is for a fish. Why? A fish has a gift for swimming. Now you see that? You see the danger of living life carelessly outside your calling. You keep yourself busy in a place where your grace is not there. Am I speaking to someone?
Amen. Amen.
Your grace is according to the gift God put in you. Even if you prayed for 40 days in the mountains because you want to start flying in the sky, yet you are a monkey, all the 40 days you are doing are a waste. Why? Your grace, your favor, your blessing is according to the gift. Now, Paul here says, but unto every one of us is given What is a process of giving? Dispense. There is grace which gets dispensed in the body of Christ. Even in a family, like I told you, if one has a certain health need, a mother needs to weigh, what attention does this child need? Maybe it's vitamin C. Maybe it's more whatever. So you need to see how you distribute that, right? Mm-hmm. Even time. Parents may dispense different time to children. Maybe this one is weak in mathematics. I need to spend more time in homework with him. So the dispensation of your time will be different depending on the need, right? And now here, Paul says, unto every one of us is dispensed or is grace given according to the measure. Remember, dispensation involves giving out and measuring. You understand that?
Amen.
And the measuring of the gifting depends on the need which is there. I believe if the government wants to distribute teachers, they'll look, they'll measure. Maybe Luapula has very few teachers. It means when they employ, they'll measure and dispense more towards that particular region.
Amen.
Correct?
Amen.
Yes. But here, we're not talking about education. We're not talking about medicine. We're speaking about how God dispenses or releases his grace. He releases it according to the measure of the gift. That's very important.
Amen.
Let's speak more about the measuring of grace. How does God measure this grace? We already know that grace is measured according to the size of your gift. But here is something important. You need to know that gifts are elastic. Gifts are elastic. Don't worry if you don't know the meaning of this word. Just say, gifts are
elastic.
Let's speak the sentence. Gifts are
elastic.
Say it again.
Gifts are elastic.
Say it again.
Gifts are elastic.
You know what we mean by that is, you know, something elastic is something which is stretches. Do you know God gave you a gift of a body? This. Did it start the way I am? Did I start like this? Is that how I came from my mother's womb?
No.
No. I started as a baby, right? I didn't know how to walk like you. Then you started eating. Not so. Then your body, it's not like you have a new body. It's the same body, but it stretches, right? It grows. There's multiplication of cells. That is how gifts are. When you eat, you feed. Your gift grows. And God can give you more grace.
Amen.
Are you understanding that?
Amen.
Now, if your gift is not fed, it remains stagnant. That's the way it is. The other day, I was looking for palm trees. We wanted to plant at our yard and the churchyard. I went to this place where they sell these trees. Now, I noticed one palm tree. It was, you could tell this is an odd tree, but it didn't grow much. Now, palm trees can grow very tall. And then I was told, oh, this one has been there for over, I don't know whether it is 7 or 10 years. But I said, hey, but why is it looking very short like this if you are, if it has been around that long? He says, no, what it is, sir, is if you put it in a pot, it won't grow very big because the pot can limit the size of how far a tree can grow. Why? The roots have nowhere to go. Are you understanding that? So a tree can have potential to grow bigger, but a pot can limit it. It is the same thing in the body of Christ. When a gift is not fed, it can remain stagnant and very unproductive. Let's talk about a gift of singing or playing an instrument. Brother Zima loves to play his guitar. Well, there are people with a higher skill of playing this. I like using the word kuliwe nangatwani za guitar watongora. They pick strings. Mwisho imverati Eh, it's like a guitar is singing with a voice. You've heard people who are able to do that. You are able to hear everything. But when someone is just doing a basic thing, he only plays the chords. And well, it feels good. But there are those who've advanced their skills. They're able to pick every string where you really feel that an instrument is being played here. Now, do you think that happened in one day?
No.
Hello? Did it happen in one day?
No.
No. There is a man called Pablo Casals, the famous cellist. You know, a cello is that instrument. It looks like a violin, but you put it down, and it's very big. It's got big strings like that, and it produces good sound. And this man is among the greatest cello players. He even played before, I think, President Jeff Kennedy. You know, he was so skilled when he plays. People pay a lot of money to just go and attend his concert to hear how he plays that musical instrument. Did that happen by magic?
No.
Was he gifted? No doubt. He was gifted. But did the gift start the way it was as an expert?
No.
One day they interviewed him. How many hours do you practice? Do you know how many hours you used to practice a day? 5 hours. 5 hours a day. Now, every morning he has to play the cello. And always you would practice all the scales, until the sound of music were in him. And he grew until, is it 93 years old? But at 90 years old, he still used to practice for 5 hours. And one day, someone asked him, he says, "Look, Pablo, you are famous. No one can beat you. Why are you practicing? You know, like you are just starting, like you are a new player. Why do you still do that?" You know what the answer says? You know, "I still practice because I feel like every day I'm improving." Can you imagine that? The man had a consistent schedule for feeding his gift. For practicing his gift. For any gift to grow, it needs exercise. It needs spiritual exercise. Now, message believers love to boast. We know mysteries. We know revelations. They can quote scripture from end to end. But I can tell you one thing. Much of message believers are so much into theory. They're not practical. Yeah. Yes, you can feed on the right word of God, on the right food. But do you know, even in the natural, good right food, if you eat it without bodily exercise, it can give you sickness. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah. If I'm eating carbohydrates, I'm eating things, but every time I'm just seated. Breakfast, I eat. I'm waiting for lunch. Lunch, I'm given food. I eat. Am I eating the correct food?
Yes.
Very good. Am I eating balanced meal? Yes, it's balanced meal. Very good. Vegetables, fruits, and everything. But health doesn't just mean eating right foods. The foods you are eating, they have to start doing the work. So as you are moving, the body begins to consume the fuel you've given it. Is that correct? Now, if I'm taking in carbohydrates, I'm eating shima, every time I'm eating shima, but with very little bodily exercise, what will happen? It will lead to diabetes. Right? Because much of the fuel you're using, there'll be a lot of residue. It's not burning up. Are we together, saints? That is why they say a person who exercises more and eats wrong food has a chance of living longer than a person who eats correct food but has very little physical activity. Did you hear that?
Yes.
A person who eats wrong food but is very active in doing exercises has more chances of living longer than a person who eats correct food but has very little bodily exercise. So look at the message, church. We boast about seals, boast about church edges, we boast about all these things, but how many of us do spiritual exercise? Do you know what spiritual exercises are? When you receive the word like this, you need to evangelize. You need to pray for someone who is sick. You need to exercise your faith to see the results which God, to see the results of promises God put in his word. That is why as a young person, even before I became a minister, I heard the preacher speak. Whatever message I heard, I wanted to share it to another person, another friend at school. To say, you know what, I was very blessed. I was taught this and that at church and it has really blessed me. Would you care to come with me? You hear something? After I heard about evangelism, I remember looking out for a book by Reinhard Bonnke on evangelism by fire. The time I grabbed that book, oh my, I read it from cover to cover. And I had a little team of my friends. There was Brother Chavula, there were other brethren, we were about three or four of us. Whatever we read, would put some little monies together and say, you know what, this man here talks about we need to have faith, we need to pray for the sick and all that. I remember one time we made a trip, we went to Chongwe. Young boys, still in school. Whatever we read, whatever we heard as a preaching, we wanted to do exercises. We went out, and I tell you one thing, we were young people, we didn't know many things, but we used to see results out of spiritual exercises we used to do. We prayed for the sick were getting healed. We prayed for the demon possessed, the demons were leaving people. And every time we saw a manifestation of that, we could see ourselves growing. We grew. We made mistakes, but we learned through the mistakes. It's part of growth. A child doesn't just start walking. He may fall down, right? The thing is, exercises are important. But have you ever noticed when you do exercises, say, ah, well, Dr. Wenuza, I am attending the training resist exercise. Then watch them at 10 press-ups. 1, 2, 3, 4, 10. But do you stop? For that pain to go, what do?
Continue.
You continue. Third, fourth, fifth. By the end of the week, the body has adjusted. Is that correct? So, there is need for spiritual exercises. The first time you do it, it will be difficult. Go in prayers. Seek the Lord. You'll see the Lord using you. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
The thing is, God will only dispense grace according to the measure of the
gift.
So, if the measurement of a child is 2 years old, the child is eating, the child is eating, the child is eating, then akwani sa 4 years old. Mozapiki is akumpasa same measure of grace, same measure of food. When the body grows, even the measure of food, grace, it also does what? Is that so?
Yes.
Then there is a stage where a child is running up and down. It's the food you are feeding him. He's doing exercises. It's burning whatever. I hope children, you behave yourself. Don't just say, hey, what did the pastor say? You know, I'm burning energy. That's not what we're talking about. But it's how God designed it. Amen.
Amen.
When the child is 5 years old, I remember Brother Zima one time saying, hey, brother, my twins are machines. They are consuming food like no man's business. Yeah, they are growing. They need more protein. They need more bodybuilding foods. Why? The body is demanding. And the more the body grows, the brother had to increase the amount of mealie-meal they used to eat. Even God, he dispenses grace according to the measure of the gift. When your gift is growing, you are doing more evangelism. You are now doing more prayers. Even God increases the grace. Even God increases the resources you used to have. Is that so?
Amen.
Oh, at one time, maybe we didn't have certain resources. But the moment we embarked on missions, God also said, okay, now you need this provision.
Yes.
There are certain blessings that can never come until your gift moves to another stage, until it grows.
Amen.
You understand that?
Amen.
God never puts fuel in a packed vehicle like that.
No, that's true.
God puts fuel in a vehicle which is on the move. You want to see the move of God in your life? Do spiritual exercises. I don't care what environment you live in. There is work God has. And there are few laborers actually.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed be the name of the
Lord.
Amen.
If there's one thing we need to be aware of, saints, is futurism. Be aware of futurism. I call it futurism. And what I mean by futurism is always saying, one day we shall go in the rapture. Amen. One day thunders will come. God could want to go to Shimi in my believers. Hello, if you can do chitika soma to piaza chinja, design the kumwamba to shave me. Suppose it is in the plan of God that you won't live up to the time of the rapture. Do you know what you would have done? You have wasted a lot of time talking about a future event. We are here. We don't know when the rapture will happen. So God can't call you to sit down and talk about the rapture. There is work you have to do here in the present time. If I am part of those who go in the rapture, praise the Lord. But there is a possibility I may not live up to that time. So, as I'm waiting for the rapture, I need to do the work I need to do now to be part of that rapture. Let me give you an example. Here are two children. They're in grade 7. One, let's call him John. Let's call this one Peter. John keeps telling his friend, yeah, this year we are writing exams. Me, I want to pass with flying colors. Me, I want to do very well. Peter says, yes, we need to study. And Peter is studying. John says, you know what? Exams are coming. Now, John is not studying. He's just talking about exams are coming. We need to be ready for exams. 1 month here, Peter, we need to be ready for exams. You know, when I pass grade 8, it will be very nice. That's not how you prepare for an exam. You don't prepare an exam by saying, you know what, we're about to write exams. You prepare for an exam by studying.
Amen.
Is that correct?
Amen.
You don't prepare for the rapture by saying, the rapture is coming, the rapture is coming. The question is, how is your life? How is your life? What are we doing in the present tense? There is work we need to do rather than sitting down and talk stories. The work of God is very practical. Very practical. And you know, that is why you have a situation where people just talk about thunders, they talk about the rapture. Meanwhile, they live very dirty lives, committing adultery, committing fornication, drinking beer and all that. Why? It's just theory they have. Lives haven't been transformed. Amen.
Amen.
It's good to talk about things which lie in the future. And we need to talk about them as much as we can in reminding each other. But it only bears fruit if, whilst we are talking about them, we are working in the present time.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, go back to Ephesians 3 as we are closing. Ephesians 3, verse 2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you. Here is something you need to know about how God dispenses his grace in the house of God. Very important. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me. God dispensed his grace through Paul to the people. Are you getting what he's saying?
Yes.
God has given me the grace. This grace is for you. What does that mean? Right now, you are hearing the word of God. When you are hearing the word of God, that is grace being dispensed to your gift. Every gift in the house of God feeds from the grace God dispenses through a ministry in that church. That is why a church can never be more fruitful than its pastor. Why? Grace is dispensed through the ministry. You understand that?
Yes.
Listen to what the Lord Jesus said. One time, some disciples told him, we want to do the work of God. Let us read that. It's in the book of John.
John 6, 29. You know, these people, let's start from this 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? These people want to do the works of God. Now, listen to what Jesus answered. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. God dispenses grace through his ministry. What do we mean by that? Let us read this scripture in the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 24. Let's see how grace is dispensed. Mark 4, verse 24. Now, I want this read in NIV. Mark 4, verse 24.
NIV?
Yes. Okay, let me read it. Consider carefully what you hear. Consider carefully what you
hear.
He continued. With the measure you use, with the measure you use out of what you've heard. Did you hear that? With the measure you use, with the measure, meaning, out of what is spoken, some people only use 5% of it, others use 10% of it. That's exactly the grace you see in your life. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. We are talking about how God dispenses his grace. God gives you his grace by giving you what you need to hear about your life, or what you need to do. So once you've heard, oh, that touched me. I think I need to change here. I think I need to change there. When you do those things, grace is ministered to you.
Amen.
And your gift grows. When you have a classroom of school children, or at a university, or at a college, a lecturer can spend 1 hour teaching. Others, after a classroom, they'll close their books. Others will go drinking. Others will go socializing. Others will go into their rooms. Kushetulula, going through what they learned. They'll pick for an exam paper. How do I answer this question? Did I understand? Others will even make appointment to the teacher. Sir, may I see you? I need clarification on a certain aspect you taught about. What is that student doing? They want to fully utilize whatever they heard in the classroom. They want to grasp the whole thing and they want it to become a part of their minds. When an exam comes, it's easy for them to recall, to remember what they learned. When the results come out, will the guy who's just been drinking top the class? It doesn't work like that unless your system is compromised. It is even predictable, the guys who will pass in the top range, right? It's those who are trying to utilize whatever they've had and they really want that knowledge to be a part of them. When the results come out, it will show. Later on, even in society, you notice that the ones who end up leading in their careers or in succeeding, usually it is the same category of people. Is that true?
Amen.
Why is that? Let's read that again. Brother Nzima, you can read it.
Consider carefully,
yes,
what you hear.
Mm.
He continued. With the measure you use, it will
with
be
the,
measured to you.
With the
measure you use.
You use out of what? Out of what you've heard.
What you've heard, yes.
Uh-huh.
He, with the measure you use,
yes,
it will be measured to you.
So with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. What is measured to you? The grace.
Amen.
You understand that?
Amen.
If you've heard something and it bothers your heart, you say, no, I need to change my life. Lord, help me. You even go in prayer. Help me. I don't want this habit to be a part of my life. Deliver me from this. It means you are taking what you heard seriously. And when God sees that, grace will be measured to you.
Amen.
Are you saying that? Another person who hears, oh, you know, the preacher talked about this. I know I have this weakness, but well, he takes it casually. Another week you ask him, what was the preaching last week? Probably they've already forgotten. Grace of God never falls on dry ground. It's only to people who are willing to use what they've heard. Mm-hmm. You'll notice that when a man is gifted in the prophetic, much of the congregation will flow in that gift.
Yes.
Usually a gift which is dominant in a church, it follows the measure of the gift in a minister, in that congregation. When you look at Brother Branham, ministries which sprang from him, they've carried the same message, right?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Brother Julie Jackson used to have the gift of tongues and prophecy. You watch people who've been under that ministry, they flow very much in that prophetic anointing.
Amen.
Why? That is what was being dispensed from that gift, from that ministry. You understand that?
Amen.
You see a man who is strong in the teaching ministry, the same gift gets dispensed. Now, that does not mean us who don't have that gift. It should be our endeavor to have a balance of these spiritual blessings God has put in place.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
That's why we have conventions and fellowships. Like Paul said, I desire to come to you so that I may impart
spiritual gifts.
Amen. Where is that? Romans? Let's go to Romans. Romans 1 verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you. In other words, that I may dispense. You understand that?
Amen.
I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. So when there's a ministry, it has to dispense the grace which God has provided. Agony is when a minister is not caught. You need to ask yourself, what is he dispensing?
Romans 1 verse 11.
For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that ye may be established. There was a time, I think it was at Levi Manawasa Hospital, they caught a guy who was posing as a doctor, but he was not. Did you read that sometime back, Brother Ben?
Yes.
I wondered, how possible is that? The man was not a doctor. Basanans pas that I've been cheating. Now why to kotangera? What wala wamuana? Alembana my prescriptions. The guy was not a doctor. Wow. Amazing. Now, if someone is not a doctor, you need to. And if you've been through that office, you now get worried. The things he wrote and the medicines I was taking, was it the right thing? God have mercy on us.
Amen.
So the body of Christ has stewards. Men entrusted with goods. The goods are the messages, inspired messages, which they speak in the church. Those words, the messages, like I'm preaching right now, the words can contain counsel, guidance, rebuke, teaching. What grace God gives you in life depends on what you do with what is being dispensed. So if a ministry is dispensing, it's up to you to see what to do with it. Are you going to hear and be changed? You know, there are some patients, they're given medicine, they go and pack it on the shelf. You know that can happen?
Yes.
Don't be that kind of a patient. Again, there are patients who diagnose themselves. Saini ni kazelebe, oh, ni maziwa, ni amoxio. That's like a problem one day.
Yeah, being your own doctor.
Being your own doctor. You've put yourself in a problem. That's not how God works. Amen. So your attitude plays a very important role here. Very big role. Because a doctor can be very qualified, but that if a patient won't hotter, it won't help. No matter even if you call the greatest physician in the world. Do you know that Judas Iscariot had the best pastor?
Yes.
You know Judas Iscariot had the best pastor? You know that certain message preachers who have fallen in sin, it doesn't mean there's a problem with the message. They have one of the most beautiful. Not one of the, I think it's the greatest message we have in our time.
Amen.
Where will you find the message? Like the end time message.
No.
It liberates. It digs deep in the scriptures, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was one brother who had backslid one time in our congregation. And after some years, I found him. And we asked him, he says, oh, which church do you go to? He says, I'm a backslider. After we get a message, he's going back. That's the power of the message.
Amen.
Yeah, that is.
A backslider in the message, when he goes among Pentecostals, he feels like an angel.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the power of this message. That's what we call message. No, you didn't hear the message. You didn't hear the message.
That's right. Thank you.
So your attitude plays a very big role. So the question now is, God has appointed gifts, ministries. These ministries are what grants grace to your calling. Why? They give you the food you are supposed to feed on. That is why the Lord says, blessed is the faithful servant who gives out food in due season to my people. It's not a one-man thing. The ministry is spread everywhere.
Amen.
When did this begin? From Pentecost. On Acts chapter 2. When the Lord Jesus ascended, the Bible says he gave gifts unto men.
Amen.
Are you seeing the stewards? Are you seeing the dispensers? They didn't appoint themselves, correct?
Amen.
Let's read Ephesians 4 and close. Ephesians 4 verse 11. And here you need to understand what does it mean when we say the grace dispensation. Ephesians 4 verse 9. We can start from verse 7. Ephesians 4 verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So when the Lord was going, he left stewards, he left dispensers. Jesus was the authority. He gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things, and he gave some. Let's hear the stewards, the dispensers. What are they? He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Amen.
That is what the ministry is given for. To establish us in the word of God, that we may grow into the image of Christ. Now, those who know something about dispensation, if it is in the health sector, I don't know the procedures, or in the education system, things will come from Ministry of Education. They will distribute certain things. If it is textbooks or whatever it is, they don't just, Ministry of Education, it goes to an individual school. There's a procedure, right? Minister of Education, maybe it goes to district boards and then it goes to... That's the way it is in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
A ministry dispenses a message. Do you know that parents have to pick it from there and dispense it to the children?
Yes.
to make sure there's order in the home. To make sure, do you remember the sermon which was preached last Sunday? What scripture was mentioned? Can you go for Sunday school quickly? Why? Parents were supposed to take what dispensers are giving to the level of our family. Then you have a healthy church. In the absence of that, everyone comes late to church. Everyone does his own thing. Why? The dispensation of grace is not flowing properly. Penangu mapipe yanapwanika. Penangu pari corruption. You've heard that? Oh, medicine was distributed. Oh, it was stuck at a certain depot. Or you find people who are supposed to receive it are not receiving it. Why? Maybe you are the one who is supposed to minister to someone in need, but you are busy doing something. Each one of us needs to play our role for a church to be healthy. Grace needs to be fully dispensed. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
When we had a crusade in Chatama, we went with the children. We had a mission team of about 50, 30 or so. Brothers, people like Terry followed also our children. Then what used to happen, you find the brothers are praying to Anna to the same place, not because I've been my parents. They thought they were escorting parents. I found them playing football. I stopped them. Says, can you pick Bibles quickly? Right now, brothers are going in the field, inviting people for the evening crusade. Can you pick your Bibles? Look for young people in the villages. Can you also go and share? Can you also go and minister? They went. You also were part of them, right? Yeah. They went there. You know what? They came back with testimonies.
Amen.
I remember they were testifying. They went to this particular house. There was a patient there. And the little children did not know what are we going to speak. All they knew is the pastor has told us we also need to be in the field. He says, anyway, we can invite them to come for the crusade. And when they went there, there was an elderly person. Now imagine, you're an elderly person, you have a patient in the house, and a little child like that comes. You know what they said? He says, uncle, tikushita invite mubwere kumsonkan. You know what the man said? He says, oh, we actually have someone who is sick and we really want to come, but we thought... They said, we thought we have to pay money to come. A big person started conversing with children, and the children said, no, everyone can come. Everyone can come. In that crusade, the person came with a patient. And this boy who invited them was praying to say, after the preaching of the message, I want that person to give his life to God if he can go in the altar. And really, when we gave an altar call, that elderly man went. He wanted to give his life to Christ. And the young boy was happy. He says, God today has answered my prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
That is why your children have to be part of this.
Amen.
That is right. If those children, I did not speak to them, they would have continued playing ball. That is why I don't believe that in the house of God, when you bring your children here, your children should be playing outside. Or your children should be on the phone. I don't believe that. Children should have the discipline to be in the church and to hear the word of God. Amen. Whether they understand it completely, they just need to be under that anointing.
Amen.
Why? That teaching, they'll grow up with it. Being under the anointing helps you. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Shall we stand? Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Shall we bow our heads?
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and we thank you for your mercies which are new every morning. Thank you, Lord, for the work you are doing here. Thank you for the time you've allowed us here. Thank you, Lord, for this family of saints we have. We now pray your word has been given. Grace has been dispensed. And now, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. May this continue down to level of family. For this work, Lord, you started it from Pentecost. And in every age, you've raised people to dispense the grace of God. And to this day, grace is still being dispensed. We thank you, Lord, for being part of it, for being part of this period of time. We thank you. And before you close this age, Lord, may we fully utilize all that you are dispensing through your different men of God around the world.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. For Lord, we know there's been a messenger in this day through which you dispensed the grace apportioned for this age, measured for this age.
Amen.
And it's something greater than all we've seen previously. May we never waste any that we have received from what was measured. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. Amen.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you. Amen.